Well, listen, happy Mother's Day. We love you. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. I've entitled this sermon, Real Moms in an Imperfect World. I actually preached this sermon back in 2012, but as I was praying whether to even do a Mother's Day sermon or not, or continue on Joshua, I began to look at a lot of the lives of the women in our church, the moms in our church, and I thought this was extremely appropriate. So pray with me as we begin, amen. Father God, I thank you and praise you, Father, for all your greatness. Thank you for all of your mercy, all of your goodness. Father, we thank you, Father, for your sovereignty, for your all-knowing, Father. You are a beautiful, wonderful, amazing God. And Father, when everything seems to be out of control, we know that you are in control, even with Haas as we speak. So Father, he's right. What men meant for evil, you can turn to good. You did that on the cross with your son, Jesus Christ. So Father, we just pray this morning, Father, that your mercy and your grace will be distributed, Father, and that people will be drawn close to you, Father. Father, may this message be a message of encouragement. Father, a message that will bring hope and strength. But Father, it'll be a message that highlights your son, Jesus Christ. Father, as always, I present myself to you as a servant, as a messenger. If I am not the one to speak on your behalf today, I pray that you silence my lips and rise up the one that you would have to speak for you this day. May your will be done in me and in this congregation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today is the day that we in the United States of America have set aside to honor our mothers. I was talking to Mike Wednesday night and told him I was going to do a Mother's Day sermon. He says, you know, Mother's Day is not even in the Bible. And I said, huh, you're right. He says, well, neither is Christmas and Easter and all those. He said, they're not in there either. But we still celebrate them, amen? But today is in the United States of America, we have set to honor our mothers. But I want to tell you about that. I disagree with that. I don't believe that today is the day that we should honor our moms. I believe that not only today, but every day should be a day we honor our moms. Amen? Now, don't give me too much credit for that, okay? Because that makes me sound like, oh, yeah, he's got it going on today. He's a real politician up there today. No, really, it's a self-motivation thing, honestly, that we should do that. Really, it's a biblical thing that we do that. But I do have a selfish motivation because when I say honor your mother, there's just a hint of selfishness on my part. Because when I think of honoring my mom or my dad, I think of the verses in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 that says this, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So we're commanded to do that. Why? So that you may live long and it may go well with you in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. Does anybody find the selfishness there in my part on this? Right? It's in there, right? And you do well to get selfish in that too. But more importantly, can you find God's command in there? Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. But I think that most of you would agree when I say this, that being honored brings an expectation of being worthy of honor. Amen? We do that. We think if somebody needs to be honored, there has to be an expectation on why they need to be honored. But listen to what honor means. Honor means to hold in high esteem. It means to hold in high respect. It means to admire. It means to really adore, I guess. Now, moms, let me ask you this. Moms, who all are moms here today? Well, we got a few, amen? Now, moms, let me ask you this. Do you find it difficult to live up to that expectation of being worthy of honor? Let me rephrase the question. Do you find it difficult to live up to all the expectations of being the perfect mom? Oh, yeah, here we go, right? Especially while living in an imperfect world where everything, quite honestly, isn't as it exactly should be. Because the truth is, life does not always deal us a perfect hand, does it? We don't always get dealt the royal flush. Not every life and every circumstance is perfect. Because some have it better than others according to what we would consider a normal life, right? We look out and we think, well, they got it better than me. But not all circumstances surrounding motherhood are ideal. Like being a single parent, for example. Due to unfortunate circumstances. Listen, not all circumstances are ideal, to say the least. Amen? So although being honored may seem like a great thing, there are an awful lot of unrealistic expectations for you to live up to as a mom from time to time. Would you not agree? For instance, I've heard some women who stress because they feel they need to always have a perfectly manicured house with nothing out of place. Anybody got that? Yeah. Women who feel they need to make sure that every meal includes each of the healthy food groups. I don't even want to mention any names. Or how about this? Women whose children are never dirty, who always have clean clothes on and who never misbehave. You know the ones when they come home from school and they run outside and you say, don't get grass stains on them pants. Or how about this, more importantly? My wife said that some of her non-Christian friends have told her that she is unrealistic to think and expect that our children will not try drugs and alcohol and not have premarital sex. In fact, some professing Christians have told me that same thing. That's an unrealistic expectation, which, by the way, just so you know, is not an unrealistic expectation. Now, I would say always having a clean house and a clean children may be a bit unrealistic, but the drugs, alcohol, and sex are totally realistic expectation for children. Why? Why is it realistic? Because God has placed that expectation upon them. And us as parents to lead them and guide them in those expectations. So today I would like to share with you a portion of scripture that you may think is unusual, but nevertheless a word from God that I believe will point out to you, to all you moms here today, that even though everything isn't as it exactly should be all the time, some of the time, or even most of the time, is that you can have a powerful, realistic, positive impact in the lives and morals of your children, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in. You see, having realistic expectations begins by maintaining a realistic view of yourself and who God is. So if you have your Bibles, they'll turn with me, like I said, to 1 Kings, verse 16, start at verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Very unusual verses. Now the two women who were harlots, I told you they were unusual, right? Now the two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him, and one woman said, "Oh my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened," verse 8, "then it happened that the third day after I had given birth, that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was in the house, no one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept." Now, maidservants would have been considered not people, just so you know. "While your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had born." Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is the mother. And all of Israel heard the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Like I said, this is a very unusual text for Mother's Day. Amen. In fact, this text is often used to show how God gave Solomon wisdom. In fact, the header in your Bible may say something like Solomon's wise judgment or a wise ruling. So clearly we can use this text to prove that wisdom comes from God, to say the very least. Amen? However, I believe that if we look beyond the obvious, that this section of God's word will reveal to us a few morals for you moms of motherhood. And this is the first one. There is no such thing as a perfect mother. It doesn't exist. And now listen, I'm not saying this to put mothers down. Instead, I'm saying this to build you up. Understand, no one needs to be treated with more tenderness than our mothers. Amen? Sometimes we are just too hard on them through unrealistic expectations, especially even in hard times. We have put a lot of expectation on mom to fix everything. And sometimes moms are too hard on themselves, honestly. Because somewhere along the way, they feel like they failed to live up to the standard expected of a mom by especially the people around them. Like the two moms in our text today. These two mothers failed to live up to the standard expected of a mom, and to God for that matter. And we know that because we are told in verse 16 that both of these moms were prostitutes. So that means this. That means that their babies were apparently conceived under sinful circumstances, meaning out of wedlock. So clearly they were not ideal circumstances, to say the least, right? And I'm sure that these two women somewhere along the way suffered emotionally. And I can imagine that there had to be some sense of failure for the life they had chosen. Right? It wasn't like the glamour life. It's the life that they had chosen. They probably had sorrow in that somewhere along the way for the life that they had brought their children into. A life that perhaps they saw no way out of. Maybe they felt that they had no other choice to make but to do this. And I'm sure that some of you here this morning can relate. Although you may not be living a life of a prostitute. But the reality in all this may be that you are not living the life you dreamed you would be living. Either through circumstances of your own or through circumstances that you had absolutely no control over. But nevertheless, this is not the life that you would have chosen for yourself or your children. If you had the opportunity, you would tell yourself this, I wish I could have a do-over. I can't imagine that these women, as young girls, sat around dreaming and hoping for the day that they would become a prostitute. I just can't imagine that. Now, we don't have the background on these women, but the truth is this. Not only were they living out of God's will, but more than likely, they were not living the life they wanted either. More importantly, right? This brought the life they wanted to be living for themselves. But yet Solomon, the king over God's chosen people, took the time to meet with these two women, spent time listening to them, and then cared enough to resolve the problem. I mean, after all, they were nothing but property in that culture. They offered a service that sinful men paid for. So why do you think that was? Why would Solomon care about these sinful, nobody women? Why would he do that? Why would he even spend his time in hearing this? Well, my guess is this. My guess is that Solomon cared about these two women because God cared about them. Amen? He cared because God cared about them. He cares about you too in your motherhood. Wherever you're at right now, whatever it is in the stage of your motherhood right now, God cares about you. However, I don't have to convince you that the church should stand for moral purity. Amen? In fact, as Christians, we should not tolerate sin. But at the same time, we, the church, need to stand for forgiveness and restoration. Amen? Amen? We need to stand for forgiveness and restoration for those who are willing to acknowledge and repent of their sin. Clearly, these women were not living up to God's ideals for sure. But who of us in this building this morning is doing a perfect job of that? Is it you? How about you? You? You, Mike? How about you? You living a perfect life over here? How about you back here, Schaefer? You living a perfect life? Here, ask me. The answer is no. I'm not. John chapter 8, verse 3 tells us of an account of when the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. You know, why didn't they bring the guy too? That's the big question, right? They were caught in the act. Why did they just bring the guy? But anyways, the Pharisees brought this woman who was caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. Look in verse 5. The Pharisees reminded Jesus of the law of Moses and suggested that this woman be stoned. She was going to pay for this. But Jesus responds in regards to this woman caught in the act of adultery was this. In verse 7. To tell the Pharisees this, that if they were without sin, that they should throw the first stone. Aren't we easy at throwing stones? When somebody gets caught up in something that they know, that they shouldn't have been caught up in, they got caught up in somewhere they shouldn't have been at the wrong time, at the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Has it never happened to you? So Jesus holds off the stones. It's looks at these Pharisees and says, which one are you? Then we are told in verse 9 that all of the accusers left one by one and no one threw a stone. In fact, Jesus would have been the only one standing there without sin. He could have thrown the first stone out. He could have stoned them. He personally could have had the right to stone them to death. But it's important that you know, he didn't. What did he say to her? Anybody know what he's told her? Go and sin no more. So why does God love us like he does? Why does God love us like that? Well, I listen to you. Listen, write this down. I have no idea. I have no idea why God loves me. I've given him plenty of reasons not to. But yet he does. You know what it is? It's one of those mysteries. It's one of those mysteries to me, but it has everything to do with his grace and mercy and love towards us. As the verse we were talking about, Mike, while I was still yet a sinner that Christ died for me, he loved me. He loves us. He loves me in spite of me. He loves you in spite of you. And listen, if we had to wait for God to love us based on our performance, we would all be going to hell. Listen, that's the truth. Because there's no such thing as a perfect mother, and there aren't any other perfect ones among us either. And seriously, if there is anyone in whom we should be willing to overlook a few faults, it should be our moms. Not that mine has any. You may say there is, but I'm not. But think about it. We're going to overlook some faults. It should be our moms. After all, only the Lord knows how many faults they've overlooked in us. Amen? I threw myself under the bus, but I'll give you grace on that one. So what? So we need to lighten up on mom a little. And moms, you need to lighten up on yourself a little. God is an ever-present help in our time of need. Do you get that? God is our ever-present help in a time of need. Listen, moms, you are not perfect, and neither are we as your children. So what you need to do is rely on the one who is perfect. Amen? You need to rely on one who is perfect to forgive you of your failures. And yes, he will. If you come with a true godly sorrow before a holy God and say, I am sorry that I have offended thee. He'll forgive you. If you'll just ask him and repent of those failures that do not honor him. And while you're at it, moms, while you're at it, ask him to help. Ask him to help you to forgive us too, okay? Because we throw stones. Which leads me to my second point today. God has answers for mothers' problems. God has answers for a mother's problems. Therefore, moms, don't look for stress-free motherhood. You got it? Pam, you have it? You have it over here? Donna, you have it? Oh, look at her. She's holding her tongue. God has answers for a mother's problems. Therefore, moms, don't look for stress-free motherhood. It doesn't exist. That's not reality. I'm not saying that mothers can't have peace and trials. I'm just saying you're a mom. When you have children, you're going to walk through stressful times. From the pains of giving birth to the empty nest, to grandchildren and beyond. Motherhood is stressful whether your child is 2 or 55. Kids will bring you stress. It's usually the middle age ones that give you the most. And listen to me, moms. I'm not telling you this to discourage you because there's good news. There's good news in all this. God is willing and able to assist moms in the problems they encounter on a daily or even a moment-by-moment basis. Amen? And thank God for that. Thank God for that because there will be times in every mother's life, everyone, when you can't handle a certain situation. Ovation. Mike and I talked about that too. There will be times when you just don't know what to do. There will be times that will be painful, times when your heart will just be breaking. Listen to me. I've just described to you motherhood. That's motherhood. There will be days of joy and happiness, and there will also be days of sorrow and sadness and uncertainties. This was one of those days for both of these mothers in our text today. This was the day they were having, these two women. One had lost a child, a pain that I'm not sure you could ever recover from. Honestly, I've never been there. I don't want to be there. But in my imagination, I can't ever understand how you could recover from that. And the other's child had been lied about and the mother deceived. Both situations were painful, even unimaginable. And although you may not have expected either of these horrible, you may have not experienced either of these horrible situations, listen to me. I'm pretty sure that every mother in this place can think of something painful, something heartbreaking when it comes to their child. I'm sure of it. God has the answer for every heartbreak. My God and your God is in the heartbreak business. He usually breaks them before he heals them. God has the answer for every hardship. God has the answer for every, listen, God has the answers for every disobedient child. God has the answers for every bad attitude. Wow. Now watch. And as a child, watch me. As a child, God has the answer for every not so perfect mom too. Listen to me. God has the answers. Trust me on this. Yes, Solomon had wisdom. But all wisdom stems from God. Why? To bring glory to himself in healing to those who will follow his counsel and his commands. We don't have a God without compassion. And understand, God did not give Solomon wisdom so that folks would stand around at the palace and say, "Oh, wow, how, gee, did you see it? That was just something, how he deciphered all that." Yes, we must understand this, that God gave Solomon wisdom for a purpose. God gave Solomon wisdom for a purpose. It was for God's purpose. It was for his glorification, for his will to be worked out. In this case, it was to save a child and to restore the child to his rightful mother. And the good news is this: God still has wisdom to spare toward you today. Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? That God has wisdom to spare towards you today? James says this, James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom," any of you, that's you personally, "if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Do you see any good news in there? Mom, when you're being pulled down, when you're being dragged down, when that stress gets so heavy, and you think, "Oh, why did they not have school in the summertime?" Do you see anything great in there? God offers wisdom still today, every day. Even for parenting responsibilities. Amen. And any of you mothers who seek it, just ask. That's what it says. I'm not making light of this. It's what it says. Just ask. Who you asking? You asking the counselor at the school? You asking the counselor over on Market Street? Is that who he says to ask? Who's he say to ask? God. And God will guide, and God can guide. God will provide wisdom for mothers in all kinds of life situations. Look at this one. Single moms, adoptive moms, foster moms, stepmoms, and moms with special situations, you name it, God can handle it. And yes, even those children with special needs or those children who need special attention. Even those moms. Listen to me, God has wisdom to give you for the task to care for them and to love them. He says, ask. Liberally, I will give it to you. Understanding God's sovereignty and wisdom, God knew who to pick. When it's to wisdom, right? When it comes to in those two women, in God's sovereignty and God's wisdom, he knew who to pick. Not only in those two ladies, but God knew who to give these people, these moms to, with these children with special needs. He says, I'm going to give them somebody who will love them. Somebody that's going to give these children special attention. And listen to me. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Just kind of play that through your head for just a brief second. I'm going off my notes, brother. Just got a long sermon just now. You think about that. In her time, in her culture, everybody thought she was a woman who got pregnant out of. She was supposed to be stoned. Her husband wanted to divorce her. Remember all that? And on top of that, she knew that the child that she was carrying, that God was going to kill him. But what did it say when God came up on Mary? What did he tell her? He said, "You are highly favored." Not everybody can be that kind of a special mom. Do you see me? You hear me? You hear me? And if this is you this morning, then know God highly honors you and finds favor in you in this task that, that he has given you. So moms, no matter where you're at in motherhood, God can and God will teach you what to do and what to say in every situation. You say, yeah, but you don't know. No, I don't, but God does. That's what he's trying to tell you. Just like in these two ladies, he knew. Therefore, if you know and depend on him, he will give you answers if you seek and ask of him for wisdom. Now, the third and final moral for mothers from this story is this. There's nothing like a mother's love. Amen. There's absolutely nothing like a mother's love. It's a special love. Obviously, God's love is greater than that, but there's nothing like a mother's love here. The real mother in this story, in verse 26, would rather see another woman raise her child than see it split into two. What is it telling me when I read that? This is what comes to me. Real true love is willing to make the hard decisions that will benefit their children. Do we have selfish moms? Sure we do. But most moms are willing to make the hard decisions to benefit their children. Understand, mom, you have to be willing to give up some things to be a good mother. For some, it might be their children. What? Best thing that ever happened to me. I get it. If the child's life and future are in jeopardy of abuse and well-being, the best thing may be. However, in many situations, personal sacrifice is an ongoing part of motherhood. That's extreme. I understand it. But in many situations, personal sacrifice is an ongoing part of motherhood. And the truth is this. It begins by mom sacrificing their own bodies by carrying the child around in their womb for 9 months. Amen, Cynthia. She's in childcare right now. Right? Think of what our mother goes through. 9 months, she's carrying around this child in her womb. Here, mom. Here, this is for you, moms. No mother's child ought to get over that sacrifice. Amen? Our mothers feed us, nourished and protected us with their own bodies before we even saw the light of day. God is amazing, isn't he? Now, I don't know anyone else who loves me enough to carry me around for 9 months. My mom still carries me. But a mother's sacrifice doesn't end there. They keep on giving. They give up sleep for the midnight feedings. They give up personal goals to help their children achieve their goals. And listen, ask yourself this. Ask yourself how many times you got a new outfit, kids. You got a new outfit and mom wore the same old clothes. Or how many times she gave you the last helping at supper. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is this. We need to honor moms for all the giving they do for us. Amen? And do you know what else a mother sacrificing love does? You know what her love actually does? It reminds us of God. It reminds us of God's love. It starts on the inside and it works its way out. Mom doesn't love you because of everything you do outside circumstantially. Mom loves you from the inside. It reminds us of God who is sacrificial in giving. It reminds us of how he gave his only son for a world of wayward children. Do you see it? And that kind of sacrificial love and giving shouldn't go unnoticed or unappreciated. Amen? You see, God's love stems from his character. It is who he is. God is love. And when you know God, his love is deep inside of you, and you too will begin to love others from the inside out, just like mothers do their children. So today, I encourage you, children, I encourage you to respond to your moms every day with the great love and appreciation that she deserves. Amen? And respond to God who created mothers in his image. Would you tell them both today, God and mom, that you need and love them? And that you appreciate the difference that they have made in your life by being in it? What a God, amen? What a God to design a mom. What a gift that he has given to us. What a love. An unimaginable love. So today, make sure you tell your mom you love her. You say, I don't talk to my mom anymore. Then start today. Honor your mother and your father. It will do well for you. That's what the word says. It says you will prosper in how long you live. More importantly, you say, but I haven't spoken. I'm an adult, and my mom, I didn't pray and ask God. Talk to God about it. Tell your mom you love her. But more importantly, thank God for her. And tell God how much you love him for loving you. That he sacrificed his own son that you may have life and that eternal, a long, long life. What a love, amen? Moms, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for loving us in spite of us. God loves me and loves you in spite of you. And a mom loves you, because I would say she's probably the closest second person that knows you best. Amen? Father God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Father, I pray that this love will grow inside of us, Father, not only to love our moms and our dads and our family, but all of those around us, Father, that you would, Father, will teach us how to love. But Father, the greatest thing that we need to know above any of this is how to love you. Father, if we can get our relationship right with you, if we can get our love correct between you and us, Father, then the rest of this we will be able to do correctly. Father, like I always said, you know, I never loved my wife the way I should until after I became a Christian. And that's the same way with my mom. I could never love my mom the way I should until I became in relationship with you. So, Father, I pray, Father, that we would seek you first above all else. And then, Father, you would give us wisdom on how to love our moms. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Will you please stand?